Everybody in, nobody out. Everybody in, nobody out. Everybody in, nobody out.
From Baltimore, this is UWEPR, United Workers and Poverty Radio.
Today we bring you one of our leaders, Emmanuel McRae, speaking to the issue of living on minimum wage. He was interviewed during the Mark Steiner Show on March the 5th.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'm glad to have you all with us. We have been debating minimum wage a lot in the show. I'm glad we could get Bill Fletcher to join the two delegates. We are now joined here by Kevin Wheeler, who is a bartender at Sam Adams Brew House at the BWI Thurgood Marshall Airport, and Emmanuel McRae, who is a member of the Leadership Circle at United Workers and used to make minimum wage at Papa John's. And gentlemen, it's good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Or log on to our Facebook pages. We do need to hear the voices of the people who work for minimum wage and what their lives are like, which we're about to now. Let me very quickly apologize to anybody who tried to call in when Eddie Conway was on. We didn't get your calls because it was just too intense a conversation. We had too much time jammed in. And when Eddie has taken a breath, he's going to come back for a longer discussion with the entire community. But we wanted to bring him and introduce that and welcome him back home. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much.
We were talking before we jumped on the air, Kevin and Emmanuel, about people who, when I said to the delegates, could you live on $10 an hour? What would your life be like? And we were saying people don't get a sense of what it means to try to live on low wages, what you have to do to survive. Can you describe some of that to us?
Yeah, well,
Kevin Wheeler.
The restaurant I work at is not very busy, and I make about $4.65 an hour. So that means, I'm dependent pretty much on the customer. And if the customer's not coming in, then I don't make money. And it makes you feel as if there's some secret you should learn, or there's some like hidden thing that you just don't have that keeps you at this wage. At least that's what the world seems to tell you. And it's crazy because we work in a state-owned facility. This is a multi-million-dollar facility where you see all this money, you see all this time spent into making it great, but yet the people who work there are making poverty wages. And if it makes you feel as if you're being discounted, as if who you are is nowhere near as important as how much money you can generate. And you'll never get a chance to see a good portion of that money. It's frustrating, to say the least.
Daniel?
For me, myself, my last employer was Papa John's. Living off minimum wage on that and using my car, you know what I'm saying? I'm not making enough if something happened to my car, which presently I'm not able to work now because my car went down. But also I had to be dependent on tips. And sometimes a customer tips, sometimes a customer doesn't. And, I mean, this job was just basically, you know, just to help out when I was working two jobs. But presently, you know, living with cancer, it's tough, you know what I'm saying, because bills don't stop. I still got, you know, I'm a parent of four. I still got to take care of my children. Regardless, I don't get, like, rent breaks or something like that when I'm on my own. I mean, it's a real tough struggle. And honestly, to tell you the truth, being a member of United Workers and learning how the system works over the last 4 years, it just, to me, $10 helps. You know what I'm saying? If it didn't help me personally, being a parent, but it sure will help a lot of more people out there to survive versus making the current minimum wage now.
How do you pay rent on that kind of money? How do you do that?
You get help or you get another job. It's like that's the choice. It's like when you make that little bit of money, like you live in a place, number one, that is like almost not fit for a person to live in. I remember there was a period of time when I was living in a really dilapidated house where part of the roof was caved in, the kitchen was like not finished, not fixed at all, but that's where I had to live, that's what I could afford. And I know other people who, like, live in really bad neighborhoods, who live in really messed up houses, but that's what they can afford. That's what they can get on the type of money that they're getting paid.
I guess from my perspective, had to set roommates, rent rooms. That was probably one of the cheapest ways. And that some of that with your rental is just as much as a regular apartment, just but for a little small space shared with strangers, or had to subject in relationships and live, you know, live with people who may be ahead, because there's a lot of people who get in relationships, low wage workers, just to survive. And they may have to have family.
You're talking about like romantic relationships?
Romantic relationships. You know, I could have a relationship. I was with a young lady off for 5 years, shared to my youngest two kids with. You know, I had to, you know, suck up and live with her and all that, especially the times when
And she you.
Huh? Yes, I had to deal with that just to get by. You know, I put my money in, you know, to help out, but it's not enough to, you know, to, take care of all ends meets, and I gotta work odd jobs, you know. DJ, host, you know, do little parties. I never was into selling drugs, because selling drugs is a very high risk and low rewards, and I see you have it done to a lot of my peers who have lived that lifestyle, you know. And
But it must be something in the back of people's heads sometimes, you and your friends. I mean, when it gets that tight, to think I gotta do something, even if you don't go there.
Yeah.
But all I gotta do is, you know, stay motivated and pray. That's all I can do, you know.
So, I mean, so you, did you, either one of you testify in Annapolis?
I had testified in Annapolis twice. Most recently, I testified for the raise of minimum wage. And basically, when I did spoke, you know, I told these senators, the position that you hold is a public office. This is not guaranteed. Whoever's contributing to your campaign, because the majority of the state Congress supports this bill. But it's whoever y'all select, minimum is, or whoever's behind the scenes, you got to look past it and think about the people who helped put you in office. Not everybody who votes is as fortunate as others. And it's going to be a day when them same people who feel though it can't happen to them, it's going to happen to them, and it may open up, you know what I'm saying? Or they got family members. If everybody just come together, you know, this is something that's needed.
What would you say to them?
I would say take a look around. And, like, I feel like a lot of these delegates, senators, what have you, they live in this, like, fantasy world almost. It's like they're living in the American dream, but they're not living in American reality. And reality is that people—
That's interesting. I like that. You said they're living the American dream, not the American reality.
Yeah, they're not, because people are struggling. People are, like, working. These are not people that are just, like, sitting at home, you know, and trying to collect a check. These are people who are actively going to work. Like, there are people at the airport that spend 2 hours getting to work, and they work a job that they can't support themselves, they can't support their families. If they want a family, they feel kind of conflicted about having it. Like, I would like to start up a family, have more children, but part of me is just like, I don't know if I can do it, because I don't know if I can afford it. And I would say to those people, like, what do you say to people whose lives are on hold, who can't do the things that they would like to do, go to school, get a house, you know, start a family? What would you say to them, that their lives don't matter as much as the lives of people that bring in, that get the majority of the wealth? I say that's not true. It's not what this country was built on. This country wasn't built by just some people. It was built by everybody.
That's an important point, and a really important point for us to ponder. And you also were talking about, you went to college, right? You went to Morgan here for a bit.
Yes. I have. It got to the point where I was put in a position where, you know, survive, you know, take care of my family. You know, I mean, I'm not a perfect person. I make, you know, mistakes just like anybody else. You know, I'm not just, you know, and sometimes the life that I learn, you know. And if I can, you know, I'll be back, in school now. But them loans, when you get behind them loans, they will not let you go back until you pay all full or portion. And I'm not making enough to pay on loans so I can get back, and, you know, so I can get opportunity for a better job.
Have you been to college?
I went to BC, BCCC, for a little bit of time. But, like, it's kind of the same thing. It's just that I had to think about what was financially feasible for me. Like, going, I would like to go to school, but I need to figure out how I can afford it, and I need to work. You know, I'm going to have to work full time in order to do it. And now I have to work two jobs just in order to make ends meet. So it's kind of like going to school just really isn't a complete option.
Like, and you have a child too.
Yeah, girl. She lives in Charlotte with her mother, so I don't get a chance to see her very often.
And it's hard.
It's hard because, like, getting money together in order to go see her is difficult because that's time off work. You know, that's time that I can't spend getting money to get her. It's kind of like a catch-22 when you work these jobs. You have to work all the time just to make ends meet, which is less time you spend with your family, which in turn, like, makes your life more difficult.
I think people, we have to end here, but I think that people don't also get what you just said, which I think is important, Kevin, how hard people who live on poor wages have to work, how many jobs you have to work, how many hours a day you have to work, getting to and from work. People just don't get it. They think it's that's what we don't understand. And first of all, I want to thank two things. A, I want to thank both you, Kevin Wheeler, and Emmanuel McCray for being here today. Sorry we had to shorten the interview today. We look forward to having you back for a long conversation. And do more stories around your lives and what you're trying to do. And I want to appreciate your courage for standing up for you and your fellow workers for a better life. And let you know that we stand with you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Good to have you all here. Kevin Wheeler is a bartender at Sam Adams, at BWI Thurgood Marshall. Emmanuel McCray, a member of the leadership circle at United Workers, used to work minimum wage at Papa John's. And we'll be talking again soon. Thank you.
UWEPR, United Workers and Poverty Radio.